But what is Moody's man? Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's mamen.
Yep.
We're Moody's men. But this is about magazine on RTR.
It is just 3 minutes past 11. It's time for Moorditch Mag on RTR FM 92.1, the sound alternative. The crew are away on their break still. And rather than taking something out of the vault like we have been for the last few weeks, Toby from Boorloo Justice joins us. Good morning.
Hi, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for having some time to come hang out in the studio. We've got a whole hour to hang out together.
Excellent. Nothing but time, hey?
For people who aren't familiar with Boorloo Justice, what's it all about?
Boorloo Justice is a grassroots First Nations predominantly led activist group. We started up back in 2020 last year in June, just as the Black Lives Matter social activist movement was starting up, and thought it's time to, you know, get on board and help make a change.
It's been a worldwide movement, but it's really when you see it sort of drill down to your local community, you really get an understanding of what happens on the ground. You know, sometimes with Black Lives Matter, you think it's something which is happening on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
It's involving, you know, policemen in Milwaukee or something. Yeah. But really, these are issues that are very relevant to everybody in
their
lives.
Of course. And you see it all around the world with First Nations people or Indigenous people, that it doesn't just affect, you know, one country or one place. It really is universal, and all of these kind of injustices and discrimination is happening everywhere. And, you know, it's funny that you hear people saying, you know, we shouldn't really be, you know, thinking about and looking at, you know, America and what's happening over there. You know, it's everywhere.
Yeah, and a big issue here in Australia.
Yeah, definitely.
You're going to be coming in. We're here for the next hour. You're going to be choosing some tunes. You're going to be introducing me to some new music I'm not so familiar with.
Great, perfect.
Because I always love finding new music. What have you got up first on there?
It's so funny. When I was talking to the Boorloo Justice crew, I said, you know, what is RTR about? I don't really listen to that much radio, if I'm honest.
But now you're going to listen every day.
But I am going to listen now every single day. I've chosen a few First Nations artists that I want to highlight. Some really nice chill tunes. That's kind of my vibe. I really like chill music that you can just kind of clean around the house to. I'm such an old grandpa. So, yeah, that's what we're going to listen to.
What's the first one you've got up?
I do have a song by Aiden, who is a Wollongong First Nations artist. This is called Always, and it's just about always having someone kind of on your mind.
You're on RTR FM 92.1. It is just coming up 10 minutes past 11 on your Thursday morning. You're listening to Moorditch Mag. Toby Miller from Boorloo Justice joining us in the studio. We're going to find out a little bit about more about him in just a moment. Toby, tell me all about you. Where did you come from? Where did you hail from before you walked in this radio studio this morning?
Excellent. I'm a First Nations Larrakia man from up in the Northern Territory, and that's where I grew up. All my mum's family are Aboriginal. Dad was in the Navy, so we moved around a lot as kids. Lived in Adelaide, in Canberra, and then I moved to Perth. I'm a teacher now, so that's what I spend my days doing. I'm actually on long service at the minute, so hi all my students out there, if anyone's listening, or parents. Got into the activist space as well with Boorloo Justice, so that keeps me nice and busy, speaking on behalf of First Nations people and the issues we face. Recently, this is a bit of shameless promotion, signed a modelling contract, because I think we need to see some more First Nations people in the industry.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is really amazing. And then I also play men's netball as well in the WA Netball League, so lots of hats that I wear.
So many things I know nothing about. I know nothing about netball, to be honest.
Just don't step 3 feet and listen to the umpires, that's all I've got to say.
Netball's changed. It's become a real, like... you know, it used to be very much a girls' sport.
Oh, definitely. Predominantly, you know? It's still very
don't
much
mean
seen.
That is discriminatory.
No, of course.
Way, but,
definitely.
Know.
And you have some very hardcore, older, you know, ladies in the netball communities that are still like, netball's just for women. And it's good to see, though, that, you know, all around Australia, we have the social and men's mixed competition every year. The championships happen. All the states get together and battle it out. And we've got a pretty great team here. The West Coast men's and mixed netball, we call them Thunder, And it's great. We get all train together and, you know, represent men in a predominantly female sport. So it's great.
You said when you're growing up, you know, you grew up in the Northern Territory in Canberra and then to Perth. I mean, they're very different places.
Oh, so different. A lot of, you know, acclimatizing to different places and familiarizing yourself with, yeah, directions and landmarks and all sorts of things. So it was great.
I grew up in South Hedland.
Oh, wow.
And I know when I moved to Perth, like as a kid growing up in the country, just the culture shock of,
it is,
you know, like other cars being on the street and,
yep,
you know, the bus went more than one place.
Seven streets in a place, there's a lot of people. So, it is. It's a big change every time you move around, but it's nice. Gives you good skills.
Do you have a favourite of those places you've lived?
It's definitely Perth. Yeah. And it's not just saying that because I'm living here now. Like, I've lived in a couple of places. And for me, I'm Larrakia people up in Northern Territory, we're saltwater people, so the beach is, you know, we're connected to it so deeply. So when I saw the coastline here, I just fell in love. You can't get any better. Crystal clear water, white sandy beaches, it's really stunning.
That is intriguing. I've lived a lot. I spent a couple of years of my life living on ships.
Yeah.
So seeing nothing but the ocean.
But water.
And I can honestly say I look the other direction.
That's so funny that people have those different responses.
I'm like driving down West Coast Highway with one hand up. So
just block it out. Just put the sunshade up so you don't see.
But tell me about that connection to water and to coastline.
I think for a lot of different First Nations people, they, depending on where they're from, they have a lot of different connections to different things. For me, being from the Northern Territory, we're just very connected to water. And for us, you know, water is healing and it's life. You can't have anything in life without water. So there is that really deep connection there. Some of our dreaming is also woven in with water. It runs really deep. It's really hard to kind of explain this intrinsic connection, this altruism that you have with it. It's very kind of spiritual.
Both my parents are Scottish,
yep,
from the Highlands.
Yep. My dad's side, he's the white Australian side. His family are from Scotland as well. So
I always thought, like, you know, if I went to Scotland, I could maybe, you know, get a book about the Scottish boy returning,
yep,
to home. I'm, yep, one generation out of Scotland.
Yep.
You know, I thought, you know, the title, Are These My Mountains? Is This My Glen? Be great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can tell you, after being there for a week, it's a cold, wet, rainy place with hills. And, yep,
and a lot of cobblestones are here as well, apparently.
Yeah, just dark and grey, and it's like, this is not my place.
Yeah. No, definitely. It's so funny. I was saying to a couple of friends as well, because I obviously love all the different seasons that we get, but it gets to that point where after a while, I'm like, get me out of winter, get me into summer, and get me to the beach.
You're choosing some music for us to listen to today. A whole bunch of artists that I've got to admit I'm not familiar with, learning some new ones. Kian.
Yes. Kian is a Queensland First Nations artist. She recently just won the Archie Roach Award for First Nations music. Really, really amazing. Again, just very sultry R&B-esque type vibes. She's got a beautiful voice. And her song Better Things is all about, you know, starting afresh, beginning again, with anything. It could be relationships, life. So it's a really lovely song.
That was beautiful, but I tricked you there because I had the wrong tune lined up. That was Maisha.
That was Maisha.
We will come to Kian.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, but yep. Tell me about Maisha, who we just
heard. Maisha is a Queenslander First Nations artist from Warrabinda. I believe she's also a Torres Strait Islander. That song I just find really, really beautiful because she gets to, you know, mix in her own language, and that's really, really powerful. And it talks about, you know, how First Nations people have kind of always fought for a space and to be validated in Australia. But she says one of the lines is there, you know, embracing the colour of your skin. That's where we found our true power and its beauty. So really love that song.
We're seeing language used more and more,
which is amazing,
in our everyday lives.
Good. Yeah.
To the point where now, you know, I went to a theatre opening the other day, and the, you know, people were saying, you know, not just a word, but, you know, yeah, whole sentences. And the audience were, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, I know what that means.
Yeah. You know? It's so good because, like I said, I'm from the Northern Territory, Larrakia man. Being here in Noongar country, my nieces and nephews, their grandma is Noongar, so my brother-in-law. And I've learned so much Noongar just from being here and listening to them. So even now I've got friends, you know, coming to me like, Toby, what does this mean? What does this phrase mean? Because I saw it today and, you know, it's just funny how you kind of intrinsically take it in and soak it all in. But it's so good to see that, more First Nations language is being incorporated to every day.
And we're seeing it in names of places being very prominent.
Yes, it's such a big movement as well that's happening in Australia. Place names and addresses is massive. Started off on Instagram and social media as well has just blown it up, which is really good to see. People are now putting, you know, First Nations place names when they're, you know, getting mail delivered from ASOS or wherever it is during COVID times, which is amazing to see.
For you, like, I guess you're in the same position as me, as someone not speaking the language, having to learn it from scratch. What has that journey been like in finding a new language and being multilingual? Because I've got to admit, like, as I said before, I lived on a ship for many years. I traveled the world. I'm not good with languages.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so funny. I think I typically have an ear for it. Like I said, I moved around a lot as a little kid. So I learned, you know, a range of different languages from places I lived in. You know, there was Indonesian and there was a couple words from, you know, back home from where I'm from. And then there was German and then there was, you know, bits of Japanese and Chinese and all these different kind of like just greetings that you pick up. But living here and learning, you know, all about Noongar culture and Noongar way of life and exposing myself and immersing myself in the language has been really, really nice. It gives me a sense of kind of connection and kind of builds on my identity a little bit. Only because Larrakia people up in the Northern Territory, there's only 6 people who speak the Larrakia language, and it's either in its full form or it's just broken down, or maybe, you know, some phrases or bits and pieces of words. So yeah, being here and learning about the Noongar language has been really amazing.
It's amazing work that people are doing to sort of, you know, not just keep those languages alive, but actually bring them into everyday use.
Yeah, definitely. If it's just like I see my I call her my nan, my brother-in-law's mum. You know, she counts with my nieces and nephews, and it's just even things like, you know, what's that on, like, your head, and she'll use the Noongar word for that, and, you know, just all different things. And the way that she incorporates it, it's really beautiful to see.
We have got the right track lined up now. So now
excellent.
We can listen to Kian. This is Better Things. It is 11:30 on your Thursday morning. Graham Watson, joined in the studio by Toby Miller from Boorloo Justice, playing some amazing tunes. We just heard 2 tunes there in a row. Mm-hmm. What was the second one we listened to there?
So the first one was Kian, Better Things. Second one was Man on the Moon. And that is a cover that she did of the Moses Sumney song, who's a very, like, quite poetic writer and artist. It's very, like,
he's
deep.
He's very artistic.
Yeah, very much so. It's this, like, haunting kind of beautiful melody. Again, I just chuck it on when I'm at home chilling out, cleaning my dishes.
If you haven't listened to Moses Sumney, he's got 2 great albums out there.
I know. And I listened to them as well. At first I was like, what am I listening to? And then, you know, I sat with it a little bit more. I was like, well, man, he's very deep. Like, it's, incredible.
Very interesting guy. And a beautiful cover of that there. Boorloo Justice has a couple of events coming up. What have you got on your calendar?
We do. This Sunday for Halloween, we've got our Bale in Boorloo Halloween event. Bale is an event that we've been running for the past 3 or 4 months. It's been the end Saturday/Sunday of the month. Basically, we're just creating a safe space for First Nations, Black, people of colour, queer people as well. And what we do for that event is we run a market stall portion for First Nations and Black small business owners, where they can come and sell their wares for 4 hours between the about 2 and 6. And then from 6 p.m. until late or early in the evening, we have like a lineup of First Nations and, you know, Black people of colour DJs that come along and spin the tracks for a little bit. So creating some safe spaces for our communities.
And this one's time for Halloween?
Yeah, it is. So we've got a theme. We've got, you know, dressing as a little spooky baddie, which should be good. And there are prizes for best dress as well. We're really trying to push as well cultural appropriation and how not to dress for Halloween, because that is, something that we're quite passionate about. It should be a really, really great event. It's also in partnership with the Retrobite. They let us have their rooftop space. Amazing
great
venue.
Space.
Shout out to the Retrobite. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having us. They've just been absolutely amazing with like autonomy of how we want to run our events. And they're always, you know, really open to ideas and let us do our thing. And they're just absolutely incredible.
Has Halloween been big in your life? Is it one you normally celebrate? For me, I'm Scottish, so it's a big Scottish day.
I think more so for First Nations people, it's more so the connection to spirituality. Mm-hmm. I guess I grew up with this, you know, First Nations grandma who was very much this old kind of knew things before you did type of person. So that's kind of my connection to Halloween. But also just me as a person and a drama teacher, I love any opportunity to dress up. So that's why I love Halloween.
Have you got your costume picked out?
I do. It's a bit of a boring one, but easy but boring. Yeah.
You mentioned the cultural appropriation and thinking mm-hmm. about what you wear. Mm-hmm. What should people be careful of?
Kind of growing up and looking back over maybe the last 10, 15 years, you know, there is a lot of people around the world, you know, dressing up as First Nations Americans, which isn't okay, you know, with the kind of headdresses and stuff, or dressing up as, a Pacific Islander, or, you know, some people even going as far to do blackface. There's no space for it anymore, I don't think, in modern day. And it's just all about, you know, the respect and doing the learning about why something isn't appropriate for specific reasons and things. Because, you know, for all of those people that this appropriation is happening, there are deep connections to, you know, the way that people dress and how they conduct themselves throughout their culture. So, you know, for people to not belong to that culture, then to dress as them, it's just really disrespectful.
Yeah. I get really upset when people call kilts a skirt.
Oh, it's so silly. I know, it's something as, you know, simple as that as well. Like that even happens too, dressing up as, you know, Highlanders or for whatever reason it is. It belongs to specific people and a culture, and there's learning and reasons and meaning behind it. So yeah.
In Scotland, we all have our own tartans to our families.
Yeah, yeah.
And my family being part of the Buchanan clan.
Yep.
We have our own tartan,
yep.
Which you will never see me wearing because it looks like someone...
Not in summertime.
Looks like someone vomited gay pride over a piece of material.
We love that though. We love it.
You don't get that in your high shop for a kilt, I'll tell
no,
you that
you
one.
No, you definitely don't.
You've been lighting up some great tunes for us. The next artist we've got is Barker.
Yes, do have Barker. She is... got an incredible story. First Nations hip-hop rap artist from New South Wales. She's just a boss. She just incorporates this. She has this amazing just boss persona, and she just doesn't take, you know, any hassle from anybody. She's just absolutely incredible in the way that she's kind of changed her life around and, you know, used music as this outlet. And, incredible.
There's a lot of Indigenous artists who make hip-hop music.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think that's down to?
I think it comes and stems from, you know, kind of American rap and hip-hop as well, and having, again, a lot of similar issues in terms of injustice and discrimination. And, you know, more often than not, it really stems from this place of, I want to say, some people find anger... you know, rap music really, really angry, sorry. So then it comes from, I think, that place. But I don't know.
It's also really political.
Yeah, correct. And poetic in all of that too. So
I think of back when I was growing up, you know, in the country that we had like one radio station.
Yeah.
And it was playing the hits of the 60s and 70s. Yep. And it's the outlet for new music was really Rage, because the ABC was also our only
Rage
television channel.
Yep.
But it used to be that, like, you know, after midnight, Friday night, when you would see those bands, you know, like Public Enemy and NWA.
Yeah.
It was Tupac, the first time
Biggie,
you'd see.
I literally, all my older siblings, I'm one of six kids. So like all my older siblings, that's what they, you know, grew me up on. So that's kind of like my bread and butter.
This is Barker with Groovy. Groovy from Barker on your radio, the Sound Alternative, RTR FM 92.1. It is 20 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to have news coming up with you. You're listening to Mortgage Mag, Toby Miller from Boileau Justice, choosing the tunes today, making some great choices, I've got to say. We've got a little weather update. It's we have hit the top for today. It's 18 degrees.
Excellent.
As good as it's going to get. if you're looking forward for the rest of the week, tomorrow is going to be 22, 24 on Saturday. And then a little bit cloudy on Sunday, and the rain will be back on Monday.
Oh, quickly get in for the beach.
So I've been on holiday for the last 2 weeks, why I'm here.
Yeah.
Because normally I'd be at work. But, you know, the rain's back. Sorry, it doesn't matter. I'll be back at work by then anyway. Borley Justice, got a great event coming up on Halloween weekend. We've got another event planned as well.
We do. And then following that, we've got our big Pride event. We had our first one last year called Decolonize.
So many good reports in that event last year.
Oh, it
just
was.
Just people raved about
incredible.
It.
Incredible. Just as well, growing up black and queer, there are a lot of members from Borley Justice who identify as queer as well. We just never felt like there was a safe space for, you know, First Nations, black people of colour to go and celebrate their queerness. So when we all got together and formed Borley Justice, we made it a priority of ours to, you know, always make sure that we're pushing and assisting and promoting, you know, people in, of colour in queer spaces. So, you know, creating that event last year was really, really important for us. And it was, you know, a bit of a hit. We're really, really proud of how it ran. Excuse the pun, proud, pride, ha, 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 ha. But we're teaming up with Rave Relief and Pete from Homopolitan this year, who's also run a really successful event.
For the last 2 years, yeah it's been really great.
It's been incredible. Yeah. The money that they've raised for charities has just been incredible. So it was great when, you know, we both reached out and reached a mutual agreement that we wanted to do a Pride event together. Super excited. So that's on Saturday, 27th of November. We've got ticket release coming
that is the
up.
Big night of the parade.
It is. It is indeed.
There are so many choices this year on how you can spend.
What are you going to do and how, yeah, how are you going to celebrate? Yeah.
As someone who will spend that night taking photographs of people, yep. it'll be like 20 minutes each party.
Yeah, that's right. Come on, quick, let's churn this out. Let's get it through. No, it'll be good. We're excited.
Where is that going to be held?
Again, that's going to be held at the Reshebite.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Reshebite. Like, again, they're just an amazing venue and, you know, they create all of those safe spaces for LGBTQIA plus community, which is amazing. Always prioritising First Nations, black people of colour, you know, DJs and people to come through as well. So
it's a space which has a great vibe. I was down there like 2 weeks ago for Priscilla were having their prom night.
Amazing, yes.
You know, which was had a great representation as well. Had Joel Davis performing.
Oh, Joel is incredible. Know. They are just amazing.
And had lots of, I guess, you know, great diversity in the performers who are on there, you know, not the usual suspects.
Yes.
You know.
And I think that's one of the big things for us as well. All of our acts and DJs and lineups and our drag queens and performers, they're all, you know, First Nations, they're black, they're people of colour, which is, you know, really important for us to create those spaces and have those opportunities for those communities.
You've got another tune lined up for us.
I do. I think this is my last one for the day, no?
Then we're on to my choices.
Excellent. Woo! the next artist that we have up is another New South Wales First Nations artist. He goes by the name of Budgera. Was on The Voice, I believe, but didn't get anyone to turn for him. But he's this young, up-and-coming First Nations artist. He's got a really beautiful, soulful sound.
I am quite obsessed with The Voice.
Oh, it's great.
Only the chair turning bit,
Yeah.
It's a show that is, like, fundamentally flawed in its design.
Oh, of course, because they say, you know, it's blind auditions, but...
Yeah, well, you know, nothing on TV is real. I worked in television. I know none of this is real. I worked the auditions for Big Brother many years ago.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, they say, like, these are what we're looking for. But if you find anyone who's really, really short-tempered...
Yep.
Send them through. Because obviously, you know...
Yeah, they're going to create the drama and they're going
to... You don't
want to
put a whole bunch of happy people who get along with each other in the house. You want some egomaniacs.
Yeah,
with,
that's right.
You
stir
know,
the pot a little bit.
People are going to fly off the handle.
Yeah, that's what we love to see.
so I realised television totally fake, but yep. I do love that chair. Will they, won't they moment.
Yeah.
It must be devastating if they don't.
Oh, of course. And for him, I was watching this when he was performing. I was like, you've got to turn for him. He's just got so much potential. And, you know, being so young, I think he's maybe 16 or 17, maybe 15 at the time. And he's singing his absolute heart and soul out. And then no one turns because I think it was actually a song that Guy Sebastian did when he was on Australian Idol a million years ago. Yeah.
Oh, I remember this now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's great. Yeah. And this next song is amazing. His tone is incredible. So check him out. It's a great song. Yeah. It's just, again, a little bit like uplifting as well. It's got that nice little bop to it.
It doesn't matter that no one turned the chairs for him at The Voice. Like, oh, there's a better pathway.
That's right. And look, and he's already released, I think, his first little EP, who's like Matt Colby's taking him under his wing now. So really good things. I'm really excited for him. Can't wait to see where it goes.
Also, no one from The Voice has ever gone on to have a career of any kind whatsoever. So, you know.
I didn't say that. You did.
I did. It's true. Seven seasons. No one can remember who won this year.
Yeah.
The Bully Justice, if people want to find out more about it and want to stay in track, where's the best place to find?
Best place for us is socials, Instagram at Borloo Justice, very simple, and same with Facebook as well. We check that frequently. We have a little team that kind of pitches in every day to just check out the socials and reach out to different peoples and organisations of who we can help and what's happening in our community. So that's probably the best place to reach us.
Next tune I get to choose.
Excellent, great.
I'm going with something from Titus.
Oh, yeah, great.
And I've always loved Titus, you know, from hearing them on the radio.
Yep.
But my memory, which always sticks with me, is going to see them play at the Flyby Nightclub down in Fremantle.
Oh, wow, it's not called that anymore.
Not anymore, but when it was, you know, sometime in the 90s, and if people want to place this, it was actually when the stage was on the other side, so that far back, like you used to walk in the door and the stage was right in front of you. So we're going back, you know,
just a couple of years.
You know, decades. And the great Lou Bennett, who I think got an Order of Australia this year.
Yeah.
She was introducing this song, a very important song about death in custody.
Yes, yes.
A very important song. And there was a guy at the back of the room who shouted out, "Oh, just get on with it and play the song."
Oh, no.
And for those three amazing women in that band, they just stopped. They stared at him.
Oh.
And she just said to him, "Leave now."
Yeah. Out. There's the door.
And he was like, "Oh, yeah, all right." And she was like, "Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're leaving."
Yeah, yeah.
And this incredibly rude man.
Yeah.
Had to do that walk of shame through a very busy
crowd. Even you just
saying
that
crowd.
Right now, like my stomach has just dropped. I could not imagine being in that space.
He had to work his way through the crowd past everybody who, you know, looked at him like going, "You're just an idiot."
And in my opinion, got off really light.
Yeah. And he left, and then we listened to Malcolm Smith.
Excellent.
The Mighty Titus. Malcolm Smith.
Great song. Very topical at the minute, especially with the National Day of action today for JC, who another death in custody, been blowing up pretty big in the news at the minute at Parliament House. It's happening, the National Day of Action.
It's just astounding that decades have passed since we had a Royal Commission and there's no action.
Yeah.
There's no change.
And it's just, I think for a lot of First Nations people, we're at that point now where it's like kind of like we're, don't get us wrong, we're still very, very angry and mourning and sad, but at the same time, we're just like exhausted. You know, it's been X amount of years and it's still, nothing is happening. We're reaching up to, you know, 500 plus deaths in custody at the hands of, you know, police who are supposed to serve and protect. So it's just kind of, it's very, very frustrating and exhausting.
And it's very clear that there's so many interlinked issues, you know, it's such a simplistic way of often looking at these things, but it is about mental health. It is about
Of course, there are so
empowerment,
many different things that go into all of these issues that we are facing.
We've got news coming up, top of the hour. I love searching op shops for, you know, music. I'm a big music collector. And I came across clearly the ABC has got rid of their CD library sometime in recent
Thank
months.
You, ABC.
Don't go looking. I already got all the good ones.
Okay.
But what I found on my journey was Buried Country 1.5.
Yep.
Which is a strange way of numbering albums.
Yes, yep.
Is there a one and a two? I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is the history of Aboriginal country music Australia.
Yep, very big. Aboriginal country music. My uncle's actually a ranger and we have a massive amount of land up in Northern Territory. So like driving out to our country, Bolgol, my uncles would always chuck on like Aboriginal country music. Yep, it's a massive thing.
We got two discs, 48 songs. I've put in disc one. So you got
Excellent.
24 choices. Lucky Dip.
Great.
1 to 24. What one do you want to go for?
I'm going to go my lucky number 13. Let's just give that a try.
Number 13. Okay. We are going to be listening to Gus Williams with Old Aboriginal Stockman.
Excellent. Great.
When I said it was a CD of country music, I wasn't kidding.
No, that was as country as it gets. Yeah.
Gus Williams with Old Aboriginal Stockman. I've got to explore more of that compilation, actually. I've only heard a little bit of it so far.
Excellent, great.
There's some more in there.
Yeah, but that just takes me back to my childhood.
We were just saying, like, I grew up in the country, so I know how to muster cattle. It's not a skill I use much.
Yep, excellent.
But if you need a cow brought back...
You're the guy.
Buy horse.
Yep.
Don't know how to do it with motorbikes or... old school.
Yeah.
You know, Toby Miller, it's been a joy having you join us
here. Thank you so much for having me, and from all of Bawley Justice, thank you so much for giving us the time, and really appreciate it.
Bawley Justice, you can find them on Facebook and
Instagram. Don't forget our events coming up.
Lots of stuff to go to, lots of great parties coming up, and you can find Mortgage Bag back on your radio 11 o'clock next Thursday morning. My name's Graham Watson. It's been a lot of fun being here with you this morning for On The Record and Mortgage Mag.